Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time again, another Das Hobby episode. Today, in English, Marcus, that's what you always were looking for, right?
Yes, absolutely. I dream of that. First of all, sorry for you all who's hearing that podcast for my English, and also sorry for our guest, but I try my best to speak English.
We love you. Everybody loves you, Marcus. You'll never forget that. So today we have a guest from Pennsylvania, actually Philadelphia, if I'm correct. It is wonderful, Jonathan Downey. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
Welcome, welcome. So we got you here because you have a collection that we actually see in the background a little of it already. You are a Michael Jackson fan and collector.
Yes.
So why Michael Jackson?
I guess since the age of five, when I was just fascinated, when I first heard Billie Jean, I remember, and then when I was in grade school and just listening to his music growing up, and I was just always so moved by his dancing and just the way that he, you know, presented himself on stage. He was always just like a magician almost. It was incredible to watch him on stage and just how the crowds would react to him, and you would see like the people fainting and in all the videos you've seen. It's just incredible the impact that he had. And I, as a child seeing that, you're just in awe, and you're just like, wow, this is incredible. I gotta be a part of this. And it just kind of went from there. And I was a fan as a child. And then as an adult, I actually got involved with the Michael Jackson fan club. Mm-hmm. It was formerly called MJFC. We were around for about 20 years, and I was their webmaster. So I did all the back end of the website, all the latest news. I did helped out with a lot of the events, the event calendar and things like that. And we actually hosted two different events that were attended by Michael Jackson personally. Okay. We hosted his 45th birthday party in Los Angeles, California, where it was about several thousand fans. And we had Steve Harvey as our MC for the party. It was really cool. And Michael showed up with his entourage and went on stage, blew out the candles on his cake. It was really cool. And then we had his 30th anniversary party. It was his 30th anniversary as a solo artist. We had an event for him in New York City in 2001. And he came to that as well. And we had a bunch of different fans performing for him. And he got to sit in the VIP box and watch the performances and then go on stage and accept an award that the fans had donated to give him as a celebration for 30 years in the business. And it was just incredible just to be in the same room as him on those two different occasions.
That is really, really cool. That's amazing. So you came very close to this guy. So
yes.
first, a little technical question, maybe. So how does the collaboration between a fan club and like the artist or the record label, all of that, was it good with Michael Jackson's team?
No, actually, Michael was the best.
Okay.
So it was crazy. So we actually used to own that. We actually had to unfortunately close our doors in, I guess, about 2007. Because it just, after Michael died, sadly, all the, you know, we had a big team before that. We had about 15 people. And when Michael passed away, unfortunately, you know, a lot of the, you can call them perks, you know, whether they be, you know, tickets or, you know, meet and greets or whatever it was, you know, those all went away because Michael's no longer here. So a lot of people kind of just, you know, I don't know if they didn't, you know, and it was also hard for a lot of people as well, you know, to still be, you know, they were very passionate about Michael. And when he passed away, it hit us all really hard. So a lot of people, you know, took a step back. So in the last few years, it was only three of us on the team. And we were running this whole website that was getting over a million hits a month. And it was the biggest Michael Jackson website on the internet by far. So it was just, unfortunately, we had to close down. But back to Michael. So we own the domain mjfanclub.net. Mm-hmm. And Michael always owned, so Michael never had an official fan club. Because he, I guess you can say in the 90s onward, he had one in the 80s sort of, but it kind of dissolved. So in the 90s and 2000s, there were so many different fan groups around the world that Michael didn't want to step on anyone's toes because they were doing such a great job for him already that he's like, why do I need an official fan club when there's a fan group in Germany, a fan group in England, a fan group in the US, and they're all doing a fantastic job, you know, promoting my legacy. So we were MJFanClub.net, but he always kept the domain MJFanClub.com just in case he ever wanted to, you know, change his mind. He wanted to make sure that he had it in his back pocket. But in the meantime, he had his MJFanClub.com redirect to our MJFanClub.net because he always said that our site was his favorite site. So he worked with us directly, and our fan club president, Deborah Danley, spoke to Michael on the phone regularly, and we had a very close relationship with Michael and the MJ Productions team. It was incredible how we were able to work with them very nicely, and they really loved our website and were in fully support of us. It was great.
Awesome.
That's amazing. I was not aware that it was that close.
Michael really, it was incredible. Like Michael, for as big of a star as he was, he really made time for his fans. Like there are stars nowadays that I see that, you know, don't give their fans the time of day. Michael Jackson was the biggest star in the world. And he always found time for his fans. No matter where it was, no matter how big the crowd was, he would stop, smile, sign autographs. Didn't matter. Michael made time for his fans, and he truly did care about his fans. That was one thing that I just always admired about him, was he was truly great to his fans.
What's your first memory of Michael Jackson? Is it like any moment, anything?
My first memory, it's funny. I guess it would be in second grade. I remember my best friend, Justin, we had our talent show, and he danced Billie Jean in the talent show. And I remember all the girls went crazy when he threw his hat in the crowd. And that was just from that point on, I was like, oh, well, this is something, you know, because he was the one that really got me into it, first of all. And then from that point forward, it just kind of all snowballed from second grade onward.
That's amazing.
Can you take us a bit with your story about how you start building your collection?
I actually have a record business. I actually sell used vinyl records online. I was collecting Michael Jackson records for about 10 years exclusively, where I would, you know, wasn't really doing any of this kind of memorabilia stuff that you see behind me. I was just kind of doing like, I'll kind of take you over here. So these are like, this is kind of my record collection here. You can kind of say I've got a, these are all Michael Jackson, and then these are all Michael Jackson. Yeah, so I was doing that for, I've got about 10 cubes of those, I guess those IKEA cubes, I guess, you know, of full of records, and there's about 50 to 75 in each cube. So you're looking at over 1,000 12-inch records there. So that's where I kind of started my collection. And then actually it was funny, during COVID, I got kind of bored with records, and I was like, kind of this little bit of difference. And then I kind of started buying, you know, smaller things. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll buy something like, you know, one of these like dolls. Yeah, I was like, you never had these, you know, I always kind of thought they were kind of fun, you know, and let's get the whole set of them, you know. So I got the whole set of those. So literally in the last 3 years, what you see behind me, it has been a product of the last 3 years for the most part. It's incredible how I've been able to do this. And I got very fortunate last year. I was buying a few items from a seller on eBay. And he had some great items for sale. And I was, you know, we were going back and forth. I bought maybe about 5 things from him. And then he sent me a message on Instagram. He's like, you know, I saw you've been buying a lot from me. I think you might be interested. I've got a whole garage full of stuff. If you want to come take a look. And I was like, when can I come? Exactly. So literally within a week later, I was driving 10 hours up north to Maine from Pennsylvania to this stranger's house to see what he had. And it turns out that his mother actually ran a Michael Jackson fan club in the 90s.
Okay.
And she was also a big collector, and she had passed away a few years ago. So he had inherited his mother's collection, and he was in the process of selling it down. And he knew that, you know, it was gonna take him years to sell it one by one, like he was doing now on eBay. So he kind of just wanted to find somebody, like basically like me, who he knew would really appreciate it and not necessarily be like a dealer who's gonna go and flip it all and make a lot of money. So yeah, so he was looking for someone, you know, that, you know, he felt like he was going to be, you know, giving his mom stuff a nice home. You know, we met and we really hit it off well, and we were able to make a business deal and strike a deal. And I was able to buy about, ended up being about 6 full carloads of Michael Jackson memorabilia. It took us 6 trips back and forth to Maine to get all this stuff back. And it was incredible, the volume of things. Her name was Nancy. She collected everything. I mean, and she was someone that went to the store and she would see, you know, a thing on the store, she'd buy all 10 of them. You know, she wouldn't buy one, she bought all 10 in the store. So, you know, she had multiples of everything. So for the last year, I've been selling a lot of things on eBay, and you know, because I had a lot of duplicates. So and you know, and also getting new things for myself as well. You know, because obviously it was incredible to find that many things all at once. So it took me about 6 months to go through everything entirely, and it was just thousands of items. You can't even imagine, but it was one of the biggest thrills of my life to go through all that stuff. And there are a lot of fans who are quite jealous when I was posting videos of me, you know, opening a new box, you know, of, you know, new surprises and new mysteries. You never knew what you're going to find in some of these boxes. And I found some incredible things. Something I actually want to share with you guys now is actually from Germany.
Okay.
So this is actually one of my rarest
items. Oh, yeah.
It's a German promotional item.
Okay.
So back in 1988, when Moonwalker, the movie, came out, they had these cars. So Pepsi had a contest, basically, you know, where you fill out a form and you could win, you know, you could win one of these little models, scale models. So I think it's rumored that there's about 50 of them that were given in prizes, and maybe a few that were given to maybe top level executives. So people don't know the exact number, but it's probably they think about 50 to 60 were, you know, maybe actually made it into people's hands.
Okay.
And to have the original box as well is just absolutely
crazy.
Incredible. So this is, you can see it's in German there on the top.
Yeah. Zum Fantasy-Film Das Fantastische Auto. Jonathan speaks German fluent too, but he's a little shy. So.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite items in my collection, but by far that I found in that wonderful collection that I purchased last year. It was just quite, when I found that, I almost screamed. It was, you could have, I think the neighbors heard me.
What is the most special product you find? Can you highlight something?
So,
is it easy?
Yeah, so actually in 2009, I was in Los Angeles. So there was going to be supposed to be a large Michael Jackson auction where he was auctioning off all of his personal items from the Neverland Ranch, where his company Julian's Auctions had basically gone to the ranch and cataloged everything. There was about six different auction books of his entire life, things from his household, and they also had costume pieces, stage pieces. So they had this big exhibition in Los Angeles of all these items where you could go and basically walk around this warehouse of all Michael Jackson. So I spent about 6 hours there one day just wandering around this huge, huge warehouse in Beverly Hills by myself, just with no one basically supervising me, so I could touch everything. It was so, yeah. And so I was actually in LA that week, and Michael was in Los Angeles that week as well, because he was getting ready for his concerts for This Is It in London that summer. Mm-hmm. So he was meeting with the various, you know, the choreographers and the dancers and getting all of his ducks in a row for London. So I knew that he was out in town, of course, so me being the mega fan and stalker that I am, you know, I of course had to figure out where he was going to be. So lucky me, I have a friend who works for E! News, Entertainment News, and he happened to, so I contacted him and said, hey, I'm gonna be in California this week, you know, maybe we can find Michael Jackson as a joke. He goes, yeah, I'll pick you up. And I was like, no, you're kidding me. So then we're driving around one day in Beverly Hills, and all of a sudden we're behind these two navy blue Lincoln Navigator SUV cars with license plates from the state of Nevada. So my friend Danny goes, and he goes, hey, Jonathan, I think we're behind Michael Jackson's entourage now. I'm like, don't lie to me, man. I'm like, don't do that to me. That's not cool. And he goes, no, seriously, I've shot Michael Jackson before, and this is what he drives around in. And I'm like, no, this is not happening. This is not happening right now. So we turn down this back alley, and my friend Danny goes, just run. So I go booking it towards the car, and out walks, I see an umbrella, you know, being held up, and there goes Michael Jackson's two children wearing their, you know, decorative masks that they used to always wear because he liked to keep their identities secret. And then out walks Michael Jackson. So I am freaking out, and I'm, Michael, I love you. Oh my God, please sell my records. I also happened to have two records because I was prepared in case I ran into him. So I was fortunate enough to get this one. I don't know if you guys can see up there.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
That one signed and another one signed by him.
Nice.
Oh, wow. So those are my two prize collectibles that I would never part with, because Michael signed them for me personally, and it was about 8 weeks before he passed away, unfortunately. So it's probably one of the last autographs that he even signed. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's incredible and something that I could never I could never sell something like that.
Was he signing a lot of autographs, or was it more like rare? Because in you have some athletes who pretty much sign everything, yeah. Then you have some that don't sell.
In the later years, he was less approachable because he wasn't nearly in the public eye as much. So, and you couldn't send him a letter because, you know, fan mail just, you know, after the 90s, no one did fan mail anymore. That just wasn't, you know, a thing anymore. So, and then after the trials and all that, he really became sort of a recluse, and he really wasn't, you know, there wasn't many opportunities to get his autograph, I would say, in the last 10 years of his life, as there were, you know, in, you know, the 80s and the 90s, when he was everywhere, and, you know, you'd see him at a hotel, and he'd be mobbed, and just signing, like, you know, crazy. Mm-hmm. So, but he was always really, like I said, he was just really good to his fans, and always made the time. And, you know, he wouldn't leave you high and dry. Like, you know, when I was there, I knew I'm getting an autograph. I knew it was going to happen. Like, I just knew this is meant to be, and this is going to happen. And he didn't let me down.
Okay. So, do you have a favorite Michael Jackson song, or do you have to give the answer? No, all songs are incredible.
Oh, of course. Well, yeah. So my favorite album by far is the Bad album. That's just, I love that. I can listen to that album from start to finish. And for me, my favorite song has always just been Man in the Mirror. It's just such an anthem song for me. And it speaks on so many different levels. And it's just, so many people can relate to it. And it's just, I love the message that it sends. And I just think it's, yeah, Michael, when he sings it live, just screams it out. And it's incredible.
Have you seen a lot of live concerts?
So I've seen many live concerts, but I have never had the opportunity to see Michael Jackson. I've seen everyone else but Michael Jackson. I've seen Elton John 25 times. I've seen the Rolling Stones, Tina Turner, you know, you name it, Madonna. But I had tickets. So I had two times. I had tickets to see Michael Jackson twice. Once was for his 2001 anniversary show in New York City at Madison Square Garden. I don't know if you remember that show. They were all over TV with Whitney Houston was there, and him and his brothers reunited for the first time. So it was a big deal. I had a lot of friends that flew in from Europe for that show. But at the time, I was only 16. So I lived about 2 hours away, and I hadn't been up to New York. I was up there once as a child, but my mom wasn't very keen on me going up to New York by myself. And at 16, I begged and begged. I had tickets. I found a way to get tickets on my own somehow, and I ended up having to sell them on eBay. It broke my heart, but and ended up being the same week as 9/11 too. So I, you know, in some ways it's like, you know, I'm glad I wasn't in New York that week, but, you know, so it's, you know, you never know, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, and then I had tickets for the This Is It shows in London. I had planned to be there as a correspondent for the Michael Jackson fan club and do a lot of, you know, backstage interviews with the various teams working on the show and, you know, Kenny Ortega, Travis Payne, and all those folks who were, you know, the big names working with Michael directly. And I had tickets for the first three nights of the show so far. I'd planned about 2 weeks stay in London in July. And then when Michael passed away, that all just went away. So I ended up going to London that week still and, you know, going to the O2. They had a big memorial for him and a bunch of fans showed up that were supposed to go to the concerts. They had some impersonators that showed up, and it was just really nice way to kind of, you know, be with a lot of the fans who, you know, were experiencing the same emotions as you. And, you know, because we were all just kind of like, still so shocked and confused, and like, is this really happening still, you know?
Can you describe how that changed? Because we have for example a lot of what Dennis already mentioned, Kobe collectors, which would when he's passed away, which impact has it on the life of the people?
Yeah, the Michael Jackson market went through the roof when he died. You can't even imagine what things were selling for. Things that I could never get those prices now. Like things that, you know, would sell for maybe $50 now were selling for, you know, $300-$400 then. It was incredible what people were willing to pay, because I guess people were just buying with emotions. You know, they wanted that, you know, emotions, you know, will make you do things sometimes, you know, and you think, oh, I used to have that as a child. I always wanted that, you know, now it's the right time to have it, you know, because, you know, I'm thinking of Michael. I miss Michael. I want to have it. So people were just paying ridiculous prices. So, and I sold one. I had three things. So back when he died, I had three autographs, and I had one that I'd gotten previously from a family friend. I sold one of them on eBay, and that one ended up going for like $3,000. It was absolutely incredible. And then, you know, now I'd be lucky to get $1,000 or something like that. So it's just what people were willing to pay back then. the market's still very strong now. Don't get me wrong. The Michael Jackson market is still very, very strong. And it's, okay. and it's actually becoming quite younger these days, too. You're seeing a lot of younger collectors come into the marketplace, you know, mm-hmm. who are under the age of 20, you know, who weren't really around when Michael was even, you know, who were less than 10 years old when Michael passed away. So these people weren't fans really necessarily growing up, but they've discovered him, you know. And it's incredible just to see how many, you know, new fans are coming in, into the realm of the fandom. It's great.
It's amazing. So, so how are you guys? Are you guys connected? Like the collectors? Do you? Is it eBay? Is it Facebook? Instagram? How do you guys communicate?
Yeah, we do a lot. There's a lot of Michael Jackson Facebook groups. There's a lot of Michael Jackson Facebook collectors group where people will post, you know, things. I'm trading this. I'm selling this. You know, I'm looking for this, and you know, people will help each other out. And mm-hmm. then I'm actually, I've got a pretty big following on Instagram. I've got over 7,000 followers now on Instagram where I promote my collection. And I actually just recently launched a new business, actually, to complement my hobby. My good friend Jamie and I from the UK, we launched Michael Jackson Market, michaeljacksonmarket.com, which is the place where we're going to sell some things from our collection. And we're really excited about some of the new collaborations we have coming up for, on the site. And we just launched that last month, and it's really exciting. We're going to be selling things from our collections and things that we acquire. If people come to us directly now. We've got a link on the site where you can sell us your collection, you know, or sell us items, you know, or on consignment, whatever works best for you. So it's really fun just to see what people have and what, you know, what the, you know, what's out there still.
It's amazing. So you really made it a business.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, 'cause I was selling a lot of things on eBay, you know, last year when I bought that larger collection, and I was just sick of jumping through all the eBay hoops. eBay has so many rules to follow, and you have to upload your tracking in this fast, or, you know, you get a horrible ranking, and, you know, it just, it's a nightmare working through eBay and having to deal with all their regulations and rules. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to cut them out and do my own little thing. So my friend Jamie was a web developer and also a huge Michael Jackson fan. So I thought, you know what? Why not now? This is a great time for us to do it. So, and it's really exciting. It's, yeah, launched last month, and it's really, really great so far. It's been wonderful.
We put the link in the show notes.
Great, that'd be wonderful.
Everybody can have a look at it. I've been checking out the website. It looks really, really cool. And yeah, I mean, Michael Jackson in Europe, of course, was large too. I also saw a lot of concert. Never saw a Michael Jackson concert. Sadly.
Yeah, I was always this close every time.
My best friend actually went to Frankfurt when he was in Frankfurt. He see him live or saw him live, but I'm never saw him live. But he have still the ticket from the concert, so I think this is also very valuable.
Another cool thing I forgot from Germany. So these were given out on the very first show of the Dangerous World Tour. They're okay. numbered keychains for, you know, for special people that were, you know, involved in the show from the first show in Munich, and everyone's number on the back. So, you know, these are quite rare. There's only about 1,000 of these in existence.
People are selling on eBay, this kind of stuff. Or
yeah, something like this could sell for $200-$300 very easily, just for a little, you know, key ring, you know, something so simple, but, you know, just because it's, you know, in demand and rare, people are really looking for them. It's really fun.
How did you, is there a kind of, how did you know, is it not a copy of something?
Yeah, you know, because a lot of things are, especially with Michael Jackson autographs these days. I tell people, buy them with caution, because for every one, there's 50 fakes. It's really, really difficult, and it's really sad, to be honest. Like, I would never buy an autograph on the secondary market ever, because I just don't trust them. There are way too many fakes than reals, and everyone claims to be an expert, you know? So, you know, just because, you know, you think it's real, the next person's going to say it's fake, you know? And I actually sent my two autographs that I got signed in person to PSA Authentication Services, who do autographs professionally, and they told me they're fake.
Oh, no.
So these are the professionals, the pros, who I actually paid almost 100, I think it was like $200 each, and I got like two letters back saying, sorry, can't certify these. I was furious. I'm like, okay. Well then, what can you do? Like, honestly, I'm like, this is the, like, I was shocked. It's like, I thought this is going to be an easy one for them. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. That's crazy.
So exactly. So, you know, who can you really trust? If the, you know, these are the one of the top three
trading companies
in the world, you know, it's a very risky game. So I find that, you know, it's better to buy autographs from people that, you know, knew Michael personally, you know, people that, you know, who were associated with them, you know, or, you know, that you can trust, you know, that, you know, because otherwise it's just really, it's a crapshoot when you're, you know, it's like, you know, playing poker, You know, you never know what you're going to get. And it's too dangerous, especially when you're spending hundreds of dollars on something like that. You know, you don't, I wouldn't risk it. I definitely wouldn't advise against that to anyone looking to buy a Michael Jackson autograph. Be careful.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's PSA is also for sports cards. So very
they're big with sports cards. Yeah. So yeah. You know, and you never know. I was that day was when that letter came back. I was just furious. I get to say the least, furious.
So do you have Michael Jackson trading cards, by the way?
I do actually have some. I have some trading cards. Yes. Let me see where they're at. Where are my trading cards at? Let me go see.
Call them.
Call the assistant. Yeah, that's very, very, very.
Do you have some stuff for Michael, Dennis? You have in your.
I just one or two pieces. Nothing big. And of course, I have the records, the Thriller vinyl record, the Bad vinyl record. I have some Jackson 5 records too. But but the music is amazing. Oh, here he comes. Yeah,
so these are from the Thriller era. They got a bunch of these things.
Okay.
So they were sold like this originally in little packets like this. And you get a full set of cards like this. And then you can make a puzzle. So the backside has a puzzle.
Nice.
That you put together. And then there are ones like, you know, they're in for several different series of these cards. So they have, like, you can see these here. This is one of the other. So this.
What company is it from? Jonathan.
These were manufactured by Michael Jackson, MJJ Productions. So okay. They owned, you can see there on the back. So they actually did
Okay.
Yeah. It was just the best. He just did everything on his own.
Yeah, exactly. His licensing company, he put his name on everything in the 80s and the 90s. Like literally,
smart.
But you know what? Michael though always looked at and he approved. That's one thing. He approved everything. If it was crap, he would say no, not at all. So, you know, he looked at everything that had his name on and made sure that it was quality and that he liked the imaging and the graphics and made sure that it didn't look like something that was going to be garbage that would bring down his brand, because he always wanted to elevate his brand with any merchandise that he sold. So he was very much involved in that throughout his whole career, making sure that you know, the fans got quality products always.
He was a very detailed person, right?
Very, very much so. Yes, he had. I don't think he ever slept because his mind was always wandering. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I also heard. Like always up and like best ideas in the middle of the night.
He was always on. Yeah, he had no off switch, which was unfortunate because that's what, you know, when he couldn't, you know, that's how his demise happened, when he couldn't fall asleep. It's also sad. Because he was just always, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, he had an idea, you know, he wants to go work it out in the studio. And he's like, no, this is when you're supposed to be in bed, buddy.
So then, of course, we have to ask the sad question. Where were you and how did you hear from?
Yeah, so that day I was at work and I got an email from our fan club president around 12 o'clock saying that Michael was being rushed to the hospital. We don't have any details yet, but it's not looking good. And then my heart sunk in my chest that moment. I knew. I don't know why. I just knew. And within 30 minutes, he was already unfortunately dead upon arrival at the hospital. And then I left work early that day because I was just, and then they announced it when it came out. I was just like, wow, I just couldn't believe it. And I was in disbelief for the first, I think, 24 hours. I just really am like, this can't be happening. This is, you know, this is Michael Jackson. No, this can't be happening. Because, you know, I was ready to go to London in 2 weeks. You know, I had big plans and, you know, huge agenda going on. And just in utter disbelief. And then I went to work the next day. And then as soon as I walked in, I never thought that I'd be the person who would cry from Michael Jackson. I never. And I just all of a sudden just started to cry. And I don't know why. And my boss gave me a hug and was just like, you know, I understand, you know, he meant a lot to you. And it's just, I never thought that would happen to me. I didn't think I would be impacted like that. And it was just incredible the impact that the man had on my life. And I was actually very fortunate where I was able to attend his memorial service at the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
Okay.
They had a raffle for that. So we were actually trying to get in touch with, you know, the Jackson Inner Circle that week, the fan club, because we wanted to see as many of us could go as possible. but we couldn't get in touch with Joe Jackson that week because, you know, obviously, you know, they were had a lot going on.
Yeah.
So his voicemail was full. So every time, you know, we called Joe, you know, we went right to the voicemail where it was full. So we had to go through the raffle on Ticketmaster like everybody else. And luckily, one of my friends, Gail, who lives nearby me here in Pennsylvania, she won the raffle and she couldn't go because she had a young child. So she called me at like midnight and was like, I got the tickets. Do you want to go? And I said, I'm going tomorrow. I'll book a flight right now. So I booked the flight like 12:30 that night, and I was out in Los Angeles 2 days later for the memorial. And I think I was in LA. I flew out that day, and then I stayed the night, and I was in LA in less than 24 hours. I was on the red eye going back because I had to get ready for London. I was leaving for London a week later almost. So it was a very busy week for me, but I got to go to the service. We got this, actually sat behind Lionel Richie. I didn't know it was him. And, you know, because I'm just the whole time I'm there, I'm just looking around. I'm not really, I'm just in my own little world. And all of a sudden, Lionel stands up to go perform on stage. Oh my God, this is Lionel Richie. Yeah, I was like, I'm sitting behind Lionel Richie. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. So we were like right there with everyone else who was there and that you saw on TV, all the millions that watched it around the world. And it was just so incredible to be there in person and very emotional. Very, you know, just, but I thought it was a very well done service. And I was very happy with how the family put that on.
Mm, awesome. Can you today your day beside your sleeping is, I don't know, 30, 14 hours a day? How much of this time is about Michael Jackson? Or
so I'm constantly like, I'm like an eBay addict. I'm constantly looking at eBay for anything that's coming up new. So because I don't want to be the one person that misses something, you know. So God, I don't want to admit it, to be honest. I'm probably looking at eBay at least once an hour just to make sure nothing new's coming up because I don't want to miss out on it. I've been kind of crazy the last 2 years, so to say the least.
Okay.
But I mean, now as you made it your business too,
Yeah, exactly. Man, now I'm invested in it more as well. Exactly.
That's very cool.
Something else I want to show you guys is I actually just got this yesterday. This is my
I wanted to ask about this. Yes.
I was voted this past year. So Hector Barjot is one of he's a Michael Jackson, I guess you can call him an influencer on YouTube. And he has a wonderful channel where he shows his different collection as well. And he has every year he has an awards ceremony where the fans will go in and vote for, you know, who they think has the best collection in the world. And this past year, I was the lucky winner of that, the Hector Barjot Best Collection in 2022 award. And I got to go up to New York City last night and meet Hector and his wife and get my award in person. And, you know, had a little mini award ceremony up there. So it was fun. And
it's amazing.
Thank you, Hector, again.
Congratulations. Yeah, I saw that on your page and I was like, wow, that is like, okay, so the fans vote for this.
Yeah, so every year there's about usually 5 or 10 finalists every year, depending on how many want to enter. And then it's on YouTube. You make about a 2-minute video of your collection, and then everyone watches the videos, and then the fans go in onto his page and they vote for their favorite collection out of all the videos they saw. And I wasn't ready last year. So I told myself, I'm like, 2022 is going to be my year. So I made sure that I had everything ready this year, and I was the lucky winner.
So amazing, man.
And now the podcast.
Such a positive and outgoing and good person, Jonathan. Really,
it's really
exciting to listen to you and to hear your stories. That's really, really, really cool.
I feel fortunate.
A lot of energy. I like it. I have the feeling you can talk now 10 hours about
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Last night when we were up, I was up in New York City with my friends, and we were chatting about Michael Jackson all day. It was like, that was great. You know, we could just. Because my partner and I he's a fan, but not like me. So when I have someone like Hector, when I can talk to him, it's just great to have someone like that where you can really have a real Michael Jackson conversation with someone who knows, who's on the same page as you.
How do you, like if somebody doesn't know Michael Jackson, or like you said, the kids nowadays, like, how do you describe him? What's the...
So it's funny, my little nephew now, Colton, he's 6 years old, and... He loves watching the videos. Like he's like just mesmerized, whether it's Remember the Time when he's, you know, when he's spinning around, turning into the gold dust, or he just loves
like Magic Johnson, by the way, in the video.
Exactly. He sees him as like a magician on stage. He's like, how does he do that? What? I'm like, Colton, he's the best. That's why. He is the king of pop. And there's only one. And we'll be lucky to see another one like that in our lifetime, maybe. Yeah. He's just really one in a million. That's why I said, I'm like, he is like, watching him is just like, just brings you happiness, and you just, it's like magic on stage. It really is. That's some of the things that he's able to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, and with some of our guests, like when we say the letters MJ, it's another MJ here for the sports cards community, of course. They always have Michael Jordan. But
we also collaborated with Michael in 1992 for Jam. Remember that video where they played basketball together?
Amazing. Amazing. Yes, and Michael Jordan really tried his best to dance. Tried
exactly. That was a good one.
Yeah, really, really, really cool, man. And it's unfortunate. What a talent, what an artist, what, like, outstanding, just outstanding. Like, and I have to say, like, all the stories that, like, we hear about him, people, the good thing with him is...
I think he's very misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I think he's very, to be honest, I think that the problem with him is that he was very, people saw him as an easy target. People saw him as, you know, basically had a big target on his back saying, you know, kick me as hard as you can and take my money is what it came down to. You know, it's really sad because he was nice to everybody. And then until you double crossed him, and then you're cut out, you know, and people just took advantage of his kindness. And it's really sad. It's really, and I think, you know, he was honestly with all, you know, all the scandals in his life. I just think it's really, and I'm glad that it hasn't overshadowed, I think, what has been as a man's talent. I think, especially in the European fans have been wonderful to Michael. I know the American fans have been a bit less forgiving, I would say, but I know Michael loved his European and Asian fans. And then they didn't even bat an eye when those things came out.
Really cool. Thank you so much for sharing like those stories and insight to your collection, all of that. That's like really, really interesting. And yeah, we put all your websites and all your social media in the show notes. And I'm sure our community welcomes this very entertaining talk and your openness and showing us your stuff. And I hope we hear and see more from you, Jonathan.
Yes, thank you so much. Wonderful speaking to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.